Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Amy, it is so nice to have you in studio and in person and talk about such a great year you had. The Grammy season will be right around the corner. The holidays are here. How has 2024 been? Like, recap that real quick, because I'm sure it's been insane.
It has been insane, but it's been very fun. And I've gotten to travel a lot for work this year, which has been amazing and really inspiring to be in so many different locations and writing there with friends and collaborators that I love. Mm-hmm. And it's just always like a cherry on top to be able to make music that you love and then also have the world react to it in a positive way and other people love it as well. So it's been a really fun year so far.
Yeah. Are you someone who, like, I guess you have to, but does traveling like help you work better, or do you find that like you're a studio person? Because I feel like when I travel more, I'm just inspired to do work harder, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's really good for the music, because being in a new location around new types of people and different surroundings, I think it only is inspiring, especially because LA, the music industry is so intense here. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of songwriters and producers and artists here can get a little bit sick of how like industry it feels all the time, so it's really nice to be able to get out and be in some more remote areas or just in different music cities. It's like, I love going to Nashville, I love being in London. It always helps music for me.
It's so funny how it really, like, that's how different LA is to where it is like a 9-to-5. Like, people are just, I'm a songwriter.
Yeah. I know,
go to my office, it's, and crazy, work from 9-to-5 and write music when it's such an untraditional job, you know. But well, on top of all the success with songwriting, you put out your solo debut album. Congratulations on
Thank
Amy
you.
Allen in September. For those that are just getting to know you too on your own personal music, how would you describe the sound of Amy Allen?
I grew up on a lot of classic rock, and then also, like, being a child of the 90s, I fell in love with like Flaming Lips. And then for songwriters, I've always loved Dolly Parton and John Prine, and so it's very singer-songwritery, but it also has some more rock elements, and then it also goes a little bit into experimental, like some electronic bits. But I think the storytelling is like what always is the heart of music for me and what I love to do the most. So they're very, it's like singer-songwriter music at its core, but it's maybe just a little bit more experimental in the production part.
I love it. And what made now like the right time to put out your debut album?
I always had been in bands growing up. Like, ever since I was 9 years old, I've been in bands. And then when I started writing for other people like 7 years ago, I really fell in love with the collaboration process and making songs for and with other artists. So my own music kind of went on the back burner as I like made this conscious decision to get better at songwriting. And then I think last year at some point, I just realized that it makes me a better songwriter for other people to keep writing for myself. Mm-hmm. And I had just accumulated this like body of work of songs that I loved, and they felt really poignant to me and like an artist statement kind of. And I'd never really felt like that about a body of work of my own before. So I just felt like, you know, why the fuck not? Like, just go for it. I love these songs. And I think it's important for me as a creative to not only be giving, you know, my like love of music away to other artists all the time, but also to make some just for myself. It like keeps me grounded in why I do this.
Totally.
So yeah, it was a very cathartic, fun process.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't sound like it, but were you nervous at all to put out like your own work of art?
I wasn't, because I think I just took all of the pressure off of it. I think because when I write with other artists that have massive profiles and there's like this expected response to a lot of the songs, I put a lot, you know, like that already is like fulfilling that part of my life for me where like a song will come out on the radio and my friends will family will hear it and be like, oh, we heard that song you co-wrote. It's so fun. And so I can totally kind of like remove any type of response from my own music that I make for myself, because I already have that part being fulfilled by songs I write with other people, putting like emphasis on how it's received. So I wasn't that nervous. It felt good to just put out something that I like and be like, I don't, you know, it doesn't matter if anybody besides my mom streams this song, you know, I'm like, I don't care. So it was like a very freeing place to be creating from, which helped me a lot. And it just makes me a better songwriter all around. So
yeah, absolutely. It's so interesting when you say like you hear these songs, because so many of them go like number one, or you hear them on the radio. What do you hear when you hear those songs? Is it like the experiences of writing it? Is it memories, or is it like something different in terms of the sound? Like, oh, there's that note I wasn't really crazy about.
It's like it's different for every song. I feel so grateful because sometimes as a songwriter, the songs that you like the least that you do are the ones that somehow like make it to the top. And, you know, I've had moments of that in my career, and so many of my songwriter friends have that all the time. And I feel so grateful this year getting to collaborate with so many great artists, especially this has been like the year of Sabrina, which makes me so happy. And those are songs that I absolutely love. Like, they're songs that if I hadn't been any part of them, I would be like rinsing that album. You know, I just like, regardless, it's a really rare moment when as a songwriter, all the songs you have coming out are ones that you actually are like, oh no, these are the ones that should be rising to the top. Like, I champion these all the way. So I've just felt very grateful for this year.
Gosh, that's awesome.
The ones that are reacting are the ones that I love as well.
Yeah. And as a songwriter and making your own music, do you, when it comes to like telling personal stories, do you save anything for your own music, or do you have no problem like passing that work on to others when, or offering inspiration, I guess, when it comes to that?
Yeah, I enter the like the approach for writing for myself versus writing for other people is so different. Like when I go into a session with an artist, the first thing is always like talking about what's going on in their life. And then whatever's going on in their life, I can kind of find a way to relate to it with something that I've gone through versus when I'm writing for myself, I'm just sitting there journaling. I always start at the beginning of the song and just like write it in a through line versus when I'm writing for another artist, we like, I make sure the chorus is like concrete before we do any other part of the song. So it's like kind of moving two different parts of my brain versus, you know, if I'm writing for myself versus somebody else. But yeah, I don't know, like a story is a story, and there's, you can tell the same story in a million different ways. So I never get too precious about like, oh, I just gave some of my favorite material away.
Yeah.
There's like so many ways to tell it. So
it's all about like, people's own perspective, right? Like there's
totally.
No, is the chorus the most important part of the song, or is it just the easiest you're saying to write and like get
definitely not
out?
The easiest to write. But it's, I think if we're talking pop, which, you know, I am a pop writer at heart, and I think pop music can go through so many phases, but I think if you're looking at popular music from like all the way back to the 50s until now, the chorus has always been like the part that people gravitate towards. That is usually like the crux of the song. And so that's why I always, when I'm writing with somebody else, I'm like, we gotta make sure we have the foundation, the thing that the bedrock of the song, which is pretty much always the chorus if you're listening to pop radio. So that's why I do that with other people. But for my own music, like I said, I've like released myself of any, you know, who's going to listen to it or how much they're going to listen to it. I'm just kind of like,
crazy.
Just make it for myself. If whatever
experiment.
It is, if there's no chorus, it is what it is.
That'd be
so
crazy.
Yeah. So I just do it differently.
I feel like it has to be such a fun time to be in pop, and you have such a foothold, you know, in this genre, but how would you describe the sound of like pop right now? What the genre is doing?
I'm so excited by pop music right now because I feel like, up until maybe even like 3 years ago, for a really long time leading up till then, as a songwriter, and most songwriters I know would attest to this, is that there could be one great pop song that a songwriter writes in a session one day, and it could have gone, like 5 years ago, it could have gone to a handful of different pop artists at the time. And now what I think is really exciting about pop music is that the artists that are winning, like Sabrina, like Chapel, like Olivia, like, you know, so many, like they are the ones that are saying things in their songs that it wouldn't make sense for their song to go to anybody else. Like it only would make sense for Sabrina to sing a Sabrina song.
Right.
Nobody else could sing a Sabrina song and have it feel authentic. And the handful of artists I think that are making music like that, that's so tailored to specifically who they are as an artist, are the ones winning. And I think it's causing other people to strive to be better and more honest and more vulnerable in their songwriting and even wittier, like funny moments on the radio are happening though. Not every artist is taking themselves so seriously, which I think is such a fun, exciting place for pop music to be in.
Yeah, it definitely feels more character-based. Like, you can tell Chapel and Sabrina are like, you know, they're just playing it to the max as they can.
Yeah.
It's so funny to think about. Like, yeah, you couldn't see Bieber singing Hot to Go, really.
No, no. Like, all the little isms are what making some artists, like, really rise to the top, that people can catch on to these little, like, you know, signature bits that they have. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I mean, you seem so generous with it. Like, you just love to see people succeed. And whenever you make in your music is like something you want to try different. But is there anything you ever like wrote that you wish you kept for yourself?
Not really. Sometimes I've had concepts where, like we were just talking about earlier, where I'm like, oh, I really love that concept. And I don't know if I'd be able to execute that as well as I executed it that day if I did try to, like, you know, rewrite that concept again for myself. But I don't know. I try to, there was some songwriter, I think, that one day said, never keep your best ideas. Like, give your best ideas away all the time, because then it forces you to come up with an even better one the next day. And I try to live by that, because I feel like if you get too precious and you put too much pressure on keeping the best idea until it's absolutely perfect and like saving it for the person you want to do it with or something, it's like it sometimes can stifle the idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you just feel it and you understand it and you like want to just follow it, then I think that's the best road to do it. And then just have to beat it the next time, you know?
No, it's a great concept. It's like a closed fist doesn't make money or whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't know what
the saying is, but it's the same concept.
Yeah.
And it's such a good, such a good thought process to have. So before you became a like Grammy winning songwriter, you wanted to be a nurse, right? What was the problem? Like, you couldn't.
I don't know if I ever wanted to be a nurse, but I felt like that was the rational decision to make.
Everyone does, right?
And it was not. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad for the world that I never became a nurse, because I feel like lives would have been at risk.
Oh, no.
But it wasn't the right decision. I did 2 years at nursing school in BC, in Boston. And then I realized like a year and a half in that I can't look at blood without fainting, which, you know, that'll seal the deal.
Big part.
And I just missed making music all the time. When I was in high school, I was writing music all the time and in so many different bands. And then when I went away to college and was doing nursing, I just like had no time. I joined an a cappella group, was like almost killed music indefinitely for me. I was bad at a cappella, and I was like, it ruined music for me for like a year. But then when I realized how much I wanted to be songwriting, my mom actually was like, there's a school down the street called Berklee College of Music. You should check it out. And then the rest is history.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's how it always works out. You know, it's meant to be. Something like you like saw blood somewhere someday and it ruined it for you?
No, it's so embarrassing. It's the worst story. I went to go see this the newest Twilight movie that was out at the time. And Kristen Stewart like births this like vampire baby.
Yeah.
And there's this like really graphic scene where this like vampire baby's like trying to come out. And it was, I just remember like I was with my boyfriend at the time and I just like blacked out in the studio, and I came to and he had like carried me out onto the sidewalk, and I was like, I think I'm doing the wrong thing. Like, can't even see a fake vampire get born on a fucking movie theater screen. So
Twilight, it's such a formidable experience for so many people.
I know.
Yours was a career defining move.
It really was. Wouldn't be here without it probably.
Well, I feel like growing up in Maine and obviously having that love of folk and bluegrass and growing up in that impacted and helped you with your job today. How do you think that like, you know, kind of molded you into how you process now?
Yeah, I didn't know anybody growing up that did music as a career, except for this one guy named Carter Logan, who was a banjo player in this bluegrass band in Maine called Jerks of Grass. Mm-hmm. And he became my guitar teacher. And every Thursday from the time I was like maybe 12 until I was 18 and went away to college, every single Thursday I'd go to this like Irish bar in Portland, Maine called Bolfini's, and I would open for his bluegrass band. Mm. So I was playing live shows like, you know, 52 weeks a year for all of middle school and high school, and auditioning my like little songs I was writing on my bed for this like group of kind of rowdy bar goers on Thursday nights. And I fell in love with bluegrass music, and which then turned into me falling in love with folk music, which then led to country music. And through that, of course, my dad like blasting classic rock in the car all the time, and then my older sisters playing like, you know, Backstreet Boys and Spice Girls. So I was like getting all of the storytellers, and then like really big pop songs, and then also classic rock. So I was like getting schooled in a lot of genres at the same time, which I didn't realize would helped me now to where I am today. It's such a big role, especially with somebody like Sabrina, who can cross so many genres in her album. And some days, like, we're writing a folk song or country song together, and other days it's more R&B, and then some days it's like massive pop. So it's actually helped me so much in my career.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Yeah, just the diversity of it, right?
Yeah, like
being able to
totally.
Pull from so many different things.
Yeah.
When you think back to those early days of performing at the bar and bluegrass and yeah. the Devin your song, what was the first song you could think of that, you know, you really felt proud of and why?
Oof. It took me a really long time to ever feel like really proud of a song. I had a band in college called Amy and the Engine.
Woo!
And
fire
I know,
name. You got to bring that back.
Fire name. But it was because at Berkeley, the seniors who are in the production majors, their senior project is to record a band.
Okay.
Like an EP. And I was playing a coffee house, and this guy named Ed came up to me and asked me if he could record me as his project. And I was like, I don't have a band. And he was like, do you think you could go find one? And I was like, when do we have to start? And he was like, next week. I was like, okay, great. And then he was playing me references of bands that he loved. And the first one he played was Florence and the Machine. And so I jokingly was like, I'll start a band, Amy and the Engine, I like off of Florence and the Machine as a joke. And then we made this EP with him and people loved it and I loved it. And we started like, you know, sending that CD around to venues, and then we started booking shows, and I was like, well, I don't know if we should change the name now. We might as well just keep the name. So I had the name for quite a long time, like 5 years probably. And we played a ton of shows and I loved it. But yeah.
Shout out to Amy and the Engine.
Shout out to Amy and the Engine.
You never know.
You never know.
Reunion.
I love them all. Yeah, we're still all friends.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So cool. Well, artists always, you know, just gush about your talent and learning so much from you. What do you think is the most valuable lesson you've learned from an artist that you've worked with?
I mean, so many. Every day in the studio, I like try to take as a learn, like a real moment to learn, because everybody writes songs so differently and everybody tells stories differently. So I'm always trying to learn how everybody does it and try to get better at doing it myself. But I don't know. I think Sabrina has been such like a positive light in my understanding of music. Because I feel like I went through this phase of taking music very seriously and trying to, you know, if I wasn't like making somebody cry, I didn't feel like I had done my job. And it's ironic because I grew up on so many writers like John Prine and Dolly who are really witty. Like they're very heartfelt, but they're also very witty and funny in their songwriting. And I think Sabrina is such a phenomenal artist because she can do all of it at the same time. And her personality is exactly how she writes a song. So it's really exciting to be amongst that and then also get better at that myself. Where I'm like, okay, not every song, you know, of course we love the heartfelt songs that make people cry, but also you can write songs that are funny and witty at the same time. And like, within the same chorus, you can have something real and honest and vulnerable and then turn around and say something hilarious. So
yeah.
I think this has been a really exciting year for me to learn how to harness that better within myself and write like very three-dimensional songs that have a range of emotion and not just one. But I mean, Tate, I work a lot with Tate McRae, and she's such a phenomenal dancer. And so I had never really thought about writing for movement. And that's so important for her, obviously, with her live shows and how great of a dancer she is. So that has also been really fun for me to like to write songs with the concept of like she's going to be doing a ton of choreography to these songs and how to make them feel vulnerable and real, but also like very movable, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm learning all the time.
Gosh, that's so interesting to think about like writing for that movement. How would that even change the process? It's like, let's add some more beats.
Yeah, it's like making, you know, melodies are huge for that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's really exciting to have really dynamic melodies and then also some that are more, you know, kind of like staccato and a little bit more boxed in so that there's a big juxtaposition between the chorus or one part of the song being like really dynamic and then another part being more, you know, like linear. But I don't know. I'm learning.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about Dolly Parton too and like how it kind of, you know, parallels with Sabrina. Do you see that between the two of them? Because man, like I heard, I think Slim Pickens or something like Dolly comes right to my mind.
We had so much fun with that one. Definitely. I see it in the fact that they're both phenomenal storytellers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what I know for me is the most important part of music has always just been to tell the story, like, in the best way possible. And I know Sabrina holds herself to that as well. And Dolly, of course, is like the mother of telling an honest, vulnerable, real story. So I think, you know, the parallels are endless there because they're driven by the same thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. You have a songwriting credit on every song for Sabrina's album, which is, I don't know if that's normal, but it sounds impressive.
I've never had that before.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you talked about building the song and how you start with the chorus and everything. And I don't know how to like ask this really, so help me like kind of form the question if it makes sense around songwriting. But I feel like a lot of songs have almost like a formula, or you're building it in a way that, you know, is repetitive. When I first heard Please, 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 like nothing is the same. It's so unique. Mm-hmm. How would you describe that song?
That song was so fun because we did that really like the first or the second day I met Jack Antonoff, who's a really good friend of mine now. And I love Jack because he doesn't live within a box at all with music. He crosses so many genres and he's really free with how he creates. And I don't know, that song, we just, you know, we were like following the inspiration and not trying to stay to any formula. And so there's like a key change halfway through the song, which you never hear on pop radio ever. And I don't even know what allowed us to feel like we could do that day, but we did and we went for it. And I'm really proud of that song because it's pushing the boundaries musically in so many ways. Like lyrically, it's pushing the boundaries. Melodically, it's doing some weird things. And like chordally, like I said, Jack doing a key change in the middle of nowhere of the song. It's like there's so many things that make that song exciting to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just chalk it up to being really inspired by Jack and Sabrina that day, and we just had the best time.
No, I still remember like hearing it for the first time because I'm just like, whoa, and whoa.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It just keeps, like,
lots
it's like
of
a
turns,
ride,
for sure.
You know? And among those songs where it feels like everyone is essential for the album, did any almost not make the cut between you guys? I don't know if you're in that process at all, but
Sabrina drives the ship fully, mm-hmm. and I'm like such a fan of hers for that reason. She's such an artist through and through and makes great decisions. And every artist I work with is so different like that. Like some artists I work with write 100 songs for the album, and some artists I work with like write 14 and pick 12. Mm-hmm. So everyone's different. But I'm really inspired by the artists that have like a very true like North Star of what they think is right for the album. And you know, everyone's process is different, but Sabrina knows for sure.
Totally. It's the end of the year where we're getting a lot of like year-end stats and everything. And so many of your songs that you write are on our playlist. What's someone you're a fan of that's on your playlist right now?
Oh, so many. I'm always a massive fan of SZA. Mm-hmm. I love everything she does. There's an artist called Adrian Lenker who I listen to all the time.
I hear that all the time.
Oh, she's
from
so great.
Artists and songwriters.
Yeah, she's
everyone
so
loves
great.
Adrian Lenker.
I do. I just did. I met Willow yesterday, who I fucking love.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I just saw that, like, it was the anniversary of. Wait a minute.
Oh, I mean, wait a minute. Yeah. So good. I'm a fan. There's so many artists out there that I haven't worked with that I'm massive fans of. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite lyric? I know it's such a broad question. Do you have any lyric you're like, that's my favorite lyric, or one that you wish you had written? Have you ever heard a lyric you're like, oh my gosh, that just shook me to my core?
It changes every day, honestly. Yeah? Like there's some lyrics that I look back on that I'm so grateful to have been a part of writing, or I mean, all the time. Like I'm really inspired by so many artists and my friends that are helping write these songs that are just coming up with things that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous they thought of that. Like, that's amazing. I did this panel the other day with a bunch of my friends, and the reaction that we all were talking about having is that when we hear something on the radio that one of our friends did, we're like so happy for them, and then instantly like pissed, like, how did I not think of that? Like, that's so smart.
Absolutely.
I don't know, constantly hearing things that I wish I had thought of first.
For sure. Well, before we wrap, I want to play a quick game with you that I created this morning.
Oh, no.
It's
terrified.
Amy Allen Answers.
Oh, my God.
It's like, check it out. All right. So you obviously work with so many incredible people. And instead of just asking about, you know, tell me about blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
I'll draw a name and just tell me whatever comes to mind. A story about working with the artist.
Okay.
Something fun, whatever.
Got it.
And they got some ping pong balls. So let's see what we got here. Justin Timberlake.
Aw, he was the first artist I worked with that I had grown up listening to.
Oh,
like
wow.
I said, like I have older sisters, so I was like schooled in NSYNC and, you know, Justin Timberlake growing up. And I think I underestimated exactly what it would feel like to be in the room with somebody and creating with them. And it was this very meta thing where I'm like, my instincts are kind of like derived from learning from him for so long, like listening to his melodies, listening to how he sings. And so to be with him in the room and like having instincts to do something with the song I'm writing with him in real time that I know are like informed by learning from him, like just so many moments like that. And he's become like a big brother to me. He's phenomenal.
It's amazing. That's trippy though, right?
Trippy for sure. It's like Inception.
Halsey.
Oh, Halsey, one of my first, I think actually my first song that ever did go number one that I worked on was called Without Me. And it was a Halsey song, and I will love that song till the day I die.
Yeah.
Very appreciative of it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, absolutely love. Was with her the other day. Phenomenal talent, friend, person, inspirational for sure. Mm-hmm. Love working with her.
Thank you so much. Sabrina.
Sister.
Comes to mind with Sabrina.
Big time sister, phenomenal songwriter, trailblazer, fearless.
Amazing. Shout out to Sabrina. One more. Let's see. Harry Styles.
Oh, H.
H.
He was H? Like the first time I was like really starstruck, I think, in a session. I had never, I hadn't gotten scared really before. And I remember walking in that day, or we got like lunch before with my friend Tom, who was producing. And like before we did 2 days together, and I was so nervous to meet him, but within 1 second we were like break dancing in the studio and having much fun, had the best 2 days. And we did the first day we did a song called Adore You, which is one of my favorite songs I've ever been a part of. So
casual.
Yeah, love Harry.
No big deal. All right, last one actually.
Okay.
Tate McRae.
Oh, also one of the absolute best to ever do it. Sweetest girl I fucking know, and so talented and hardworking and humble. Like, humble.
Oh.
She feels like one of my friends back home in Maine, honestly. Yeah. I love her so much. And,
like you said, so talented. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you see that immediately with some of these people when you first meet them? You're like,
yeah.
Easy.
Definitely. It's interesting because I meet so many different types of people. And sometimes I go into a room and I meet an artist or a writer or producer. And I'm like, okay, that's somebody that is like so artsy and so about their craft and, you know, like it put into kind of like this whole other sphere I can't even imagine ever being. And like, I don't see myself that way. Yeah. And then I meet somebody else and I'm like, oh, they're like a friend. They're so artistic, but they also have this thing about them. They're so approachable and like one of my best friends from home. Mm-hmm. And those end up being the people that I am like constantly creating with, because not only are they so artistic, but they somehow amongst the fame and the art they're making, they've like managed to keep themselves like so intact as a human, as a good person and as a creator. And so it's really fun for me to work with those people, and then to have success with those people is like the best possible feeling.
The best.
Yeah.
They deserve it, right?
1,000%. Oh. Yeah.
And you deserve it too. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On all the success.
Thanks
it's
so
been
much.
An unreal year. How are you going to celebrate? Like, we're wrapping up 2024.
I know. I'm going home to Maine in 2 days, which I'm very excited about. I'm going to see the whole fam. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to London for a long time. So I'm very excited to get some like cold weather for the holidays.
Wow.
I'm very excited.
You a cold weather fan?
Big cold around the holidays, like Christmas. Christmas time,
yeah.
Big cold weather fan.
Feels right.
Yeah, feels
Gotta
right.
Got to escape LA for a little bit.
Definitely.
Well, can't wait for all the awards season to come up. I'm sure you'll be a big part of it. And
I hope so.
Continued success. Thank you for the time and letting us know what you're up to and telling us some fun stories. Appreciate
Thank you
it so much.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.